It's the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. The most important story.
The Washington Times said the patriotic Americans donated U.S. flags after protesters raised the Mexican flag over the ICE facility.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
It is not fair that people come in illegally and they have three square meals a day, TVs and all. There's something that is wrong with this picture.
And opinions and ideas that prepare you to tackle the day ahead.
When we get into conversations with people, you can get real bombastic with each other because you haven't read it. You don't know what you're talking about.
It's the AmeriChicks, dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left.
So if you understand the issue, then you can have calm, reasonable conversations.
Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. This is Kim Munson, and happy Thursday to all of you. I am so excited about this show today. Thrilled to have in studio late-breaking guest chick Karen Levine, award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
And the new housing numbers are out for the metro area, so you're going to share those with us in the second segment.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, good, good. Third and fourth segment, we will be talking with Peter Moore. He's with Vital for Colorado, and he's written a really important piece that was in Colorado Politics recently. And he said that the plummeting number of permits belies Polis's promises regarding drilling. And so we'll break that out as well. First segment, we're going to go through some headlines. But before we do that, several things. First of all, I want to say thank you to the team. Thank you to producer Steve, to Zach, to Patty, to Keith, and to Charlie. Thank you for all of your good work here. And to you listeners out there, really appreciate you. You are treasured. You're valued. You've got a purpose. Go out there and do that today. And as we're breaking down these issues, Karen, you and I mean, we talk a lot about a lot of different issues. I mean, we've been friends for a long time. And ultimately, it seems that the question on the table is freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And so if we can simplify these issues and bring it back to that, you know, kind of that, the parameters on that, that seems to be a good place to start. And we're seeing this romance with the word socialism in America today. And ultimately, socialism gets to force. And surveys say that actually Americans like freedom. So let's keep that going, huh?
Exactly.
Let's see. Our quote for today, our inspiration for today, Edmund Burke. He lived back, he was born in 1729. He was an Anglo-Irish statesman and a philosopher. He was born in Dublin, and he was a member of Parliament in Britain between 1766 and 1794. And he actually was a real proponent of the underpinning virtues of manners in society and the importance of religious institutions for the moral stability of the good of the state. And these views were expressed in his A Vindication of Natural Society. But many people look to him as we look at some of the things of the America's founding. And so Edmund Burke, he said, never apologize for showing feeling. When you do so, you apologize for truth. I just thought that was a really interesting quote. And so I wanted to share that with you again. Edmund Burke, he said, never apologize for showing feeling. When you do so, you apologize for the truth. And Steve, school's getting back into session.
Yes.
So I thought we'd go with some school jokes. So let's see if you can tell me this one.
The operative word here is jokes.
Yeah.
Go for it.
You are so mean.
I'm sorry.
Okay. The math teacher says, a man from Los Angeles drove toward New York at 250 miles per hour. And a man from New York drove toward Los Angeles at 150 miles per hour. Where did they meet? Little Johnny said, in jail.
Okay.
Okay.
These usually come in threes. That's it?
You know, I looked at some others, but I just did that one today.
Oh, in that case, cue drummer.
Thought maybe the drummer took the day off. So,
actually, my first thought was, who drives to New York? Who wants to drive to New York?
Well, and who wants to drive to Los Angeles? So,
well, good point.
Yeah, but you know what? Well, I was going to say, if AOC has her way, there would be no airplanes, but also there would be no cars. So
there'd be no driving.
There'd be no driving. So Johnny would say it's a moot point.
Okay.
I want to get
little Johnny is such a philosopher. I love him.
This has been on the headlines and really wanted to, I keep not even getting to it. And that is last Friday, we talked about this movie, The Hunt. And just a terrible, terrible story. A story of basically deplorables being kidnapped and sent to an island where wealthy elites would go on vacation and hunt them. And there was a big outrage on it. And it was going to be distributed by NBC Universal Studios, the big, big outrage. And it looks like they have actually pulled that, and they're not going to be, here it says the hunt cancellation is welcome news. This is from Fox News. It says murdering political opponents isn't entertaining or funny. And so I'm glad that there's been enough outrage on that, that they have pulled that, because in this divisive society right now, we don't need anything to be stoking the fire. I actually think that much of the rhetoric from the radical left is trying to really foment divisiveness. And so we need to come together. We need to start to unite. We need to talk about things that we have in common. And Karen, I actually, you're out there a lot. And don't you see people across the spectrum generally? I don't see the divisiveness that we're hearing about, you know, in the headlines. I think people generally, they just want to go out, live their lives, and you're out and about a lot. So, you know, what's your read on that?
Well, I think that's true. And I think what is concerning is that what we hear on the radio, not here, obviously, but public, you know, the national radio, the national TV networks, mm-hmm. et cetera, it's propaganda that is trying to convince us that this is the reality. And so if we don't push back and stop listening and start seeking truth, we'll get sold the propaganda. And it's kind of scary.
Well, and that's why we do this show.
Exactly.
And, you know, you are a valued partner. We've been friends for a while.
10 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For a while. And you've been a longtime supporter also of the show. And that, you know, we really appreciate that, and I highly recommend you if people are going to buy or sell their house. That number, I have it memorized, is 303-877-7516, 303-877-7516. But what you just said, it's important that we have these conversations, and that's why we do this show every day, is so that hopefully people can start to get their brains around these issues. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. But let's kick the tires on these ideas instead of, you know, just walking away if we disagree. And so that's, you know, that's why we're doing this. Let's see. What's the next thing I wanted to mention? I think that the next thing we'll mention is this came to my attention yesterday. I ended up having coffee with a friend of mine, and actually run into him after a number of years. And so he says he listens to the show all the time, and you know, how could he help? And so anyway, we had coffee, and he said, there is something happening over at DU that many of the alumni are not aware of. And that is DU is starting to very quietly get rid of the Pioneer, the Pioneer name. And it is the DU Pioneers. And they've been that for a long time. And this, he gotten this information. It says only 18 months after telling us the Pioneer nickname would stay, DU has chopped away the word Pioneer from two major programs without warning and without alumni engagement. And when confronted about this malfeasance, the school merely delivered some cordial excuses about why they did it. We're refreshing our approach, they told us. As of August 14th, 92% of the voters in a recent survey simply do not believe DU's excuses. Out of 283 participants, 259 said that they believe DU will continue to remove the Pioneer name from additional programs, perhaps as a prelude to removing the nickname altogether. Indeed, a DU alumnus and longtime friend of Let's Go DU put it when he wrote this morning, "You can't spell disingenuous without DU." And so, Steve, what do you think about this, possibly getting rid of the Pioneer name at DU?
It's just another example of this political correctness baloney. You know, we've been taking down statues now for how many years? Just whatever we can do to wipe out our history.
Well,
and, you know, sanitize it for whatever reason. And it doesn't need sanitizing.
Well, you know, throughout history, there is nothing that is perfect. Certainly, as we were doing the westward expansion, there were things that happened. But you look at this whole American idea, and pioneers moving west, freedom, property rights. Now, I know that there are some that would argue that pioneers possibly took away Indians' property rights. I think that's one of the reasons why they're saying that they want to get rid of the pioneer name. But, you know, it wasn't all just kumbaya with the different Indian tribes. They fought all the time as well. So, you know, in this whole human thing of human history, there are winners and losers. And ultimately, as we were doing the westward expansion, the pioneers were moving out here. I think they still cared about, you know, all the people that were here. I mean, what other country do you know where I want to say, I guess, conquered, but that actually they give, you know, land, and we have the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which is a significant budget item in the U.S. budget. And what other country do you know does that to you know, other people that might be there? Typically, they might just push them out and not do anything about that. But inherently in the American idea is, I think, a value of life for each and every individual. So we're not perfect the way it all worked out. But because of the westward expansion, because of the American idea, more people thrive and prosper in freedom and than any other social construct out there. And so taking away the pioneer name is actually taking a shot at this idea of property rights, the whole American idea. Am I making any sense, Steve? I feel like I'm rambling just a little bit.
No, you're not making...
any sense?
No. I messed that up. No, you're making quite perfect sense. And you know, whether it's this topic or reparations or, you know, we go back to 100-plus years ago and think we're going to put some kind of a Band-Aid over it and make ourselves feel better about what happened, you know, somewhere in our history. I'm not making that connection.
Well, and I was thinking pioneer is a word of invention, adventure, creativity. When you're a pioneer of something, you made something new, you made something better, you made something great. And we've allowed the other rhetoric to take over and say that it's all negative. And it's not. Pioneer is a great word, and it's a great accolade to what Americans are. So they're trying to sell us a different can of understanding.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. I hadn't even really thought about that. And that is, and we've seen that across the spectrum, mm-hmm. the redefinition of words.
Exactly.
And so we're seeing that at DU. They're redefining pioneer, which means a variety of things. It also stands for the innovation of moving westward, but all of these other things, to be a pioneer in industry, a pioneer.
And we would say we wanted to be a pioneer in space. We wanted to be a pioneer in medicine. We wanted, you know, to be in the forefront. How all of a sudden in this decade or this century or this day did pioneer become bad? Because somebody decided it was going to be that way, and we're buying into it. So I'm glad you're having the conversation, and maybe some pushback is appropriate.
Well, I think it's very appropriate. And that is one of the questions that I don't quite understand, is how we have alumni and then also scholarship programs that are funding these schools that are now moving so far to the left on an ideological spectrum. I can't even tell you. I have a number of friends that have said, I sent my child to college. Because it used to be, if you went to college, you were hopefully getting an opportunity, you know, for setting yourself up for success. Now kids are getting out with tremendous amount of debt and a really, really bad attitude. Not all of them, but many of them. Steve, do you want to make a last comment before we go to break?
No, I just appreciate the points that Karen just made in terms of the connotation switching it to the word. Mm-hmm. It used to be a notable word, a word of good notoriety, and all of a sudden now we got these people seizing every opportunity they can to try to make something negative out of what used to be acceptable
and positive. Okay, good point. So anyway, if you're alumni of DU, if you're giving money to DU, you might want to contact them and tell them that you like being a pioneer, being creative, being innovative, pioneer in. So you know what? You might want to pioneer an effort to push back on what's going on over there regarding the DU pioneer name. So this is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks. Thrilled to have in studio with me Karen Levine, award-winning realtor, as my guest chick. We're going to go to break. When we come back, some interesting housing numbers here, and we want to hear what they are. We'll be right back.
Looking for an awesome place to host your draft party? Look no further than Hooters. With tons of TVs, free Wi-Fi, world-famous wings, and ice-cold beer, you're probably thinking, it doesn't get any better than that. But wait, at Hooters, it does. Every fantasy league gets a free draft kit and over $200 in Hooters swag. Join us for fantasy football done Hooters style. Book now at Hooters.com/football. That's Hooters.com/football. See you at Hooters.
All Americhicks sponsors are an exclusive partnership with the Americhicks and are not affiliated or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Americhicks with Kim Munson and grow your business, contact Kim at Americhicks.com. That's Americhicks.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For over 30 years, entrepreneur, stylist, and Americhick Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game and freshen your look, email Kim at Americhicks.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Americhicks.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Americhicks with Kim Munson, where we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation. We'll be talking with Karen Levine about the new housing numbers in segment two. Segment three and four, we'll talk with Peter Moore with Vital for Colorado about his piece in Colorado Politics about the number of permits for drilling here. I was thinking over break, Steve, I like hockey. And, you know, DU has a great hockey team. And I can just see as the DU, you know, they won national championships, as the guys are taking the ice, the next thing they're going to be, it's going to be go snowflakes, because that's probably going to be the new moniker for DU.
Well, it answers the obvious question. If Pioneers are out, then what's in? Snowflakes.
Yeah.
Snowflakes.
Okay. So I just had to just mention that one. Karen Levine, you... Well, several things. You're a real champion for property rights. And the idea that everyday people can own their own property, they can own their own home, there's a lot of great things about it. It helps them create wealth. There's the ownership. I mean, and it's something that's pretty unique about the American idea. And that's why we've had this vibrant middle class. So that's really important to you. And because of that, I know that you not only, I mean, you work a lot of hours, but you volunteer a lot of time across the spectrum. You're on the National Association of Realtors Board. And one other thing, you're on or very involved with GRR, which is the Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, which is another thing. Yesterday, we saw each other yesterday. I just have to tell you, you showed up, a bunch of us girls got together, and one of my neighbors actually just adopted a dog from there. And I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. But you had been over there helping brush dog's teeth or something? Is that what was going on?
Well, it's called Dental Day, and we offer an opportunity for volunteers at a low cost to bring in their dogs for non-anesthetic dental cleaning. And so I just help with the day as far as checking people in, collecting their money, making them feel comfortable if they're going to hang out while their dog is being treated. It's about a 45-minute process. Unless you were Tanner, the yellow lab yesterday, who took 2.5 hours.
Oh.
Apparently, his plaque needed jackhammer. He needed a jackhammer.
Okay.
But not really. We didn't have that available.
But he just needed a thorough
teeth
cleaning.
He did. And his teeth were healthy once we got...
Yeah. Got through that. So I know that's something really near and dear to your heart, but you volunteer across the spectrum. Tell us what's going on in the Denver metro market. I guess the numbers just came out.
I think it hit the press yesterday, and the Colorado Association of Realtors has a research committee and a group of spokespeople, of which I am part of that cadre. And the numbers I have found fascinating in the fact I've been watching this one particular number, and it's the under contract number.
Okay.
How many properties, single family homes, townhomes, and condos are under contract, because that's the first step to getting to the closing table to have a seller be successful in selling a property, and a new homeowner becoming that homeowner of that property. So I've been watching that for the last probably 90 days, and that number continues month in and month out to go up. And so if we look at July's numbers in 2018, comparing it to 2019, the under contract number is up almost 12%.
Okay, that sounds good.
It's very good. That means activity is very strong. We've also seen an increase in new listings. New listings have been up in the metro area a little over 6%, so we've got a little more inventory. It's not quite as tight of a market, so buyers have little more option. But what I found fascinating after watching these numbers over the last 90 days is you would suspect the sold numbers would also be increasing.
Mm-hmm.
And solds are increasing. They're up a little over 5% metro-wide, but that's not 12%.
Right.
And it's been lagging. So I'm kind of curious, and I keep asking the question, when are we going to see the sold number catch up to the under contract, or at least look like it's more balanced? But I think what's occurring in our marketplace, and this is why I really encourage your listeners, if they're in the market for real estate, buying or selling, that they seek a realtor. And the difference between a licensee and a realtor is the realtor adheres to a code of ethics. We also are very active in protecting their private property rights, both on a local level, a state level, and a national level. And so there is a difference out there. So make sure when you are looking to do a real estate transaction that you ask if your agent is a realtor. But in saying that, what I think is occurring is sellers are having to be a little bit more accepting of contingencies in these offers. And the typical contingency would be the sale of another property.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're a condominium owner, you're ready to buy a single family home, you don't have your condo on the market yet. The seller may now be more receptive to saying, you know what, we'll give you some time to sell your condo. But what if that condo doesn't sell in that period of time? Then that property's coming back on the market for the seller.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why we're seeing this bit of lag. The good thing is for a buyer, there's a little more opportunity, a little more flexibility. But buyers understand, don't get too greedy, because good houses are selling at top dollar prices.
Are they? Okay.
And they're still getting multiple offers. But there are some opportunities. Maybe it's not that shining star amongst your choices. Maybe it's a little tarnished, but you can buy it a little bit better and put some sweat equity into that property and be able to start building your wealth.
So in that case, there might be a real opportunity for somebody that may want to be moving up into the housing market.
Mm-hmm.
What about that first-time buyer out there right now? Is there a pretty good opportunity for them?
It continues to be challenging, and that's because if you look at our average sales price continues to go up metro-wide. The current average sales price in the metropolitan area is $483,000. And the single family average is probably in the fives. It is $525,400. And then condos, which is typically condo townhomes, would be where many first-time homebuyers are going to start. We're seeing a median price at about $312,000, and that's up about 4%. But it's up a little bit less. We're still seeing appreciation month to month, but that amount of appreciation is slowing down a bit because inventory is increasing.
Okay.
So there's some positives, a little bit of balancing taking place in the marketplace. And I would also say still a great time to buy because interest rates dropped a little bit since, even though when we dropped the Fed rate,
uh-huh,
it doesn't necessarily directly affect mortgage rates, but we did see rates drop a little bit, and we're looking at rates under 4. So that's pretty
awesome. So that would
awesome.
Be a really good time.
Yeah, affordability.
And what about somebody say that, and you know, I know some people are moving out of state because they might want to be, you know, getting closer to family or something like that. Is that something that might be important to consider at this time?
Moving out of state, a lot of people are considering that as something they're looking, like our older population is looking to move down. And moving down in the metropolitan area, I tell people, you'll get a smaller house for the same or more money. It's a little more difficult, especially when you're trying to get to one level living.
Uh-huh.
But as some people start to move out and maybe less people are moving in, that's going to create our inventory to go up and more opportunity for buyers.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, Karen Levine, thank you. Greatly appreciate it. And I love the way that you really take a look at these numbers and dissect them. And really appreciate your partnership
thank
as
you.
Well. And it's great to have you in studio. We're going to go to break in just a little bit. Before we do that, though, I want to talk with a pioneer in his industry, and that is Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. Jason, are you there?
I'm here. Now, is that an insult or is it not?
No.
I'm trying to figure it out. I can't tell these days.
That was on the Karen Levine definition of pioneer, okay?
Oh, okay.
Not the activist at DU definition of pioneer. But, I mean, there's some... Yesterday was wild in the market, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it was pretty crazy. And it was funny, the day before it looked like we might be getting some traction and some buyers come back in. But yesterday, yeah, boy, we got whacked 800 points on the Dow. The market never really even had a chance all day. The volume was pretty heavy. The sellers were out in force. And the big blame came because, Kim, they said that we had a inverted yield curve again. They always got to think of some reason every day why the market did what it did.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, I think they're trying to blame the inverted yield curve.
Well, I was listening to some programs yesterday, and they were saying that because of the inverted yield curve, that would mean that we might be headed into a recession. But actually a lot of the economic numbers are good. So is this just people getting whipped up about just getting whipped up? I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
You know, I saw a yellow car right next to a green car on I-25 going north yesterday. You know, that might mean that we're in for a recession, too. You know, this inverted yield curve, I mean, it's predicted a recession correctly like 10 out of 5 times. You know, that's kind of the joke there, that there's a lot of false alarms on it. There have been recessions after we've seen a yield curve invert. But, I mean, I think on average, Kim, the recession has come 19 months later. In the times that it did happen, there's many times that after we see the yield curve invert for the first time, I think I was reading some statistics yesterday, that the S&P 500 goes up an average of 22% before we get to the recession. So, I mean, it's an interesting headline, but I certainly wouldn't go, well, the yield curve inverted for one day, I'm selling everything. I mean, I don't think that's the way you go with this.
Well, and when you get these big swings in the market like this, you want to make sure that you can sleep at night. And that's one of the things that you are a pioneer in Jason.
Well, just, yeah, ask my wife. I put her to sleep every night. She probably told you last night, you know, when she came over to the Tapas deal, right?
Yeah, no, she did not mention that, but it was a rather robust evening, I must tell you. It's a group of women that we get together a couple of times a month and just, you know, talk about issues out there. And we actually had Rick Turnquist, who's going to be on tomorrow, breaking down the Colorado budget numbers. And
okay.
So it was a robust evening to be had by all. Right, Karen?
Yes, and it was lovely to have Melissa join us.
It was lovely to have Melissa join us. That's for sure.
Well, thank you.
Oh,
quick, Kim, do you want to talk about negative interest rates?
That
gets mentioned, and I'll bet Karen gets asked about that too, huh?
Yeah, let's hit that quickly, and then we'll go to break and talk to Peter Moore. So, yes, what is what's
I'll
the...
I'll be real quick,
yeah.
Kim. You know, we hear that, well, Germany has negative interest rates, these other countries have negative. Does that mean that when you put your money in the bank, they send you a bill just to keep it there? No, it doesn't. It just means that when you're buying that country's bonds, that you're having to pay a price for the bond that's probably higher than what you're going to get back when the bond matures, and the coupon or the interest you receive on the bond between the time you buy it and it matures is not enough to make up for the difference. So you're actually going to take a small loss overall by buying it. So why would people do that?
That's
because
my question.
They still feel like their safety in owning the German bond. They don't know where else to put their money. But that also answers a big part of the question why we have an inverted yield curve. America is still very strong. You can buy our bonds and you can still get paid. You can get a positive interest rate. So why would you put your money in a weaker country and pay them to, quote, guard your money when you can put it with the United States of America and actually get paid? It makes no sense. That's why money's rushing into our bond market.
Okay. Fascinating. Okay, well, Jason McBride, I really appreciate you explaining that. I learned a lot. Did you, Karen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very helpful.
And if you want to learn more, reach out to Jason McBride and his colleagues over at Presidential Wealth Management. That number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And then we have a landing page. It's chickspresidential.com. Jason has all of the podcasts and all kinds of great information there. Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. And we're going to talk to Peter Moore when we come back. He's with Vital for Colorado. He had a really important piece in Colorado Politics. It says the plummeting number of permits belies Polis's own promises on drilling. So I guess it may be that Polis said one thing and actually did another. So we'll find out
now
about that.
That would be unusual.
Would that be unusual? We'll be right back with Peter Moore.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson with the Americhicks at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. And now introducing Vino and Veritas in Fort Collins at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson with the Americhicks would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland for sponsoring the new Vino and Veritas in Fort Collins. In Denver and Castle Rock, Kim would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Denver and YourTownTaxpayers.com for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at Americhicks.com.
Social media is important to the Americhicks, since it's an avenue we can utilize to hear from and speak to all of our friends. For those of you who enjoy listening to the show, we'd love to hear what's on your radar. Follow us and talk to us at Americhicks Twitter and Facebook pages. Also, if you're a business owner who could benefit from some extra foot traffic from like-minded friends, consider advertising on the Americhicks radio show. Contact us at Americhicks.com or email Kim at Americhicks.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Americhicks with Kim Munson, where we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. Thrilled to have on the line with me Peter Moore. He is, Peter, did you found Vital for Colorado?
I did. Along with several other business leaders, we started in the fall of 2013.
Okay, and basically, I mean, affordable, efficient, and reliable energy, I think, is inherent for everyday people being able to thrive and prosper and flourish. And one of those components of that is the oil and gas industry. And so Vital for Colorado, you founded it in 2013. What was your purpose?
Back then, it was primarily to Chamber of Commerce. I was on the board of directors of the South Denver Metro Chamber. And we thought we'd be very, very lucky if we could organize maybe 1,000 or 2,000 people that had similar ideas. We were organizing around a seven principles pledge. And some of the principles were very simple, such as we believe in science and not hyperbole. And we wanted people to understand how important the oil and gas industry was. We were trying to be business people talking on behalf of the oil and gas industry because it's so important to Colorado's economy. what happened during the next 5 years or so is that we had much greater success than we anticipated. And our coalition grew to 85,000 Colorado citizens that signed
wow.
the pledge. And over 1,000 businesses and even a few hundred elected officials. And probably most of our efforts were trying to educate and advocate and write op-eds and write pieces. We had a radio show twice a month for several years. Had a lot of interest in gas. But it led up to last year's election, and as of the end of last year, it looked like the people had fairly overwhelmingly voted against setbacks, which were written in such a way that really would have shut down the oil and gas industry. But then January came, and the new 2019 legislative session, and now we have a new law, SB 181, and that's the focus of my article of last week, is that there are many, many representations as to what would happen, what was intended, business as usual, and although we're just a few months into it, it's not that way at all.
Well, and so what you're describing, Peter, is there was a proposition on the ballot in November. Wasn't that Prop 112? Is that what that was?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was overwhelmingly defeated by the people of Colorado. And then not even, you know, 2 or 3 months later, there was something, in a way, I feel almost more onerous than 112. It was passed through the legislature, and Governor Pola signed it. But I think what I'm hearing you say is Polis had indicated that things weren't going to change that much, but when we're starting to see the results, things are changing significantly.
That is the case. Before the bill was signed, and Governor Polis actually was against 112, he spoke to the oil and gas conservation folks. He also spoke to the trade show back in August. And he clearly did not support the setback initiative, which was very, very strict. And then he threw his support behind this new bill, 181, to some cynics in the group. They thought that it was debated, set up, and passed in a way that was more along the lines of retribution as opposed to trying to get stakeholders to provide honest comment. And I mean that in the sense that the bill was publicized, I think, on a Friday, on a slow Friday one day, and it went through, and the various stakeholders did not have much input. They tried, especially the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Committee, the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, COGA, which is a primary oil and gas advocacy group, did have some changes, and so there are some very, very small wins. But the real proof would be, what is the effect in terms of the granting of permits? And the effect has been very devastating just in the first 3 months.
Well, in the oil and gas industry, well, I have all kinds of things going through my brain. I mean, you talk about from a business standpoint, what oil and gas has brought to the state of Colorado. And it's not just the people that work in the oil and gas industry. When that industry is growing and doing well, you know, it's they go out to eat. So it's the restaurant owner. There's new restaurants that can open up. You know, they use the dry cleaner. They go to the grocery store. You know, it's a far-reaching effect on the economy. And when you start to contract that, and I have friends in the oil and gas business, and they're very concerned about their livelihoods. They're very concerned about their jobs. And when you start to have people that have this kind of the unknowns out there, they're like, am I going to have to move? If they have to move, they need to call Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance.
Thank you.
But we'd like to have people not move because they have to move out of state for a new job or whatever. We'd like people to have, you know, the choice to move because they want to. And they're really concerned. And Peter, in your piece, you said in 2018, an average of 426 new drilling permits were approved every month. But since the passage of Senate Bill 181, the pace of permitting hasn't come close to this baseline. In fact, you said in May, the first full month of the implementation of SB 181, there were only 41 new permits. Now, I think you're saying that the oil and gas industry was assured that things weren't going to change, but the very first month of implementation, that's pretty significant.
This is data, by the way, which comes directly from the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Conservation Commission website. So they publish a number of permits, and you can just look. But in the first month, first full month, it was a 90% cut from what had been happening in 2018. And the next month, in June, it was a 60% cut, and then it was a 70% cut. So it went from 10% of what had happened last year to 40% of what had happened last year and 30% of what had happened last year in the first 3 months.
Wow.
That to me is a radical change. And then also there's the effect in terms of the counties. Last time I looked, I believe the number is greater than this, so I haven't really kept track of the moratoria passed by every county, mm-hmm. but each of the counties are trying to pass new regulations to regulate the new local control that they have under this new law, which we call SB 1981. They're taking a long time, and this process also is not seeking very much stakeholder input. And so their solution is just to stop. And last time I looked, it was only about a month and a half ago, it was seven communities. I think there might be a greater number than that, where there are no local permits issued. So in many communities, it's being shut down while people are trying to adapt to the new local control. That's not certainty. That's almost just telling the industry that
you're not welcome
stop
here.
Doing this. And although that may be popular in some quarters, people may not think through what the impact would be. So I'm sitting here in downtown Denver, looking at this lovely morning, 26th floor, and I think that as of 2018, something like 20% of all downtown office space is directly related to companies that are oil and gas companies or service providers or people that are directly related to. And so that's just downtown real estate. And if the numbers go to, let's say, 50% of production over the course of 10 years, there's an economic study called a Remy study, which has been used by almost all governments in the country to calculate effects. It's a very reliable kind of study, but the projection by one of the Common Sense Policy Roundtable is that over the course of 10 years, one could have a loss of 120,000 jobs in Colorado, and that would result in $8 billion of local, state, and tax revenues. And those are numbers which are not sustainable. And that's what people are afraid of, is to begin to dismantle the oil and gas industry by failing to issue permits, by having uncertain and also having now a patchwork of regulations. So the rules you follow in Adams County may not be the rules you follow in Broomfield and Larimer County.
And it makes it really, really difficult for industry on that. Hey, Peter, let's go to break. You mentioned something about local control. And it's interesting, up in Weld County, they are actually trying to take some local control to support the oil and gas industry in their county, because Weld County is rich in oil and natural gas resources. And they're actually being kind of, I think, thwarted, where on the other hand, where the permits are, there's moratorium on permits, that is just kind of going unchecked. And I'd love to have you speak to that when we come back. This is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks. Have Karen Levine, award-winning realtor, in studio. We're talking with the founder of Vital for Colorado, Peter Moore, and we'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Come join the 88 Drive-In for all your favorite blockbuster movies. We're open 7 days a week. Admission is only $9 per person, and children under 12 are free. Friday, August 9th through Thursday, August 15th, features will include The Lion King, Toy Story 4, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And remember our popular Monday through Thursday pizza special. Get one 12-inch pizza served fresh and hot from our oven, and two tall, cool 16-ounce sodas, all for only $12. Plus, now you can top it all off with our new sweet, crunchy churros and a steaming cup of hot chocolate. For more information, go to our Facebook page or visit our website at 88drivein.net.
You get more out of life when you go out to a movie.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, where we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation. We're having a very important conversation with Peter Moore. Before we do that, though, Steve, what are you doing tomorrow night?
I don't know. Is there something going on?
There is. Steve and Patty and I are going to go out to 88 Drive-In Theater tomorrow and work the snack bar.
How fun will that be?
So I'm practicing. You want butter on that popcorn? How's that?
So actually, Patty and Kim will be doing the work. I'll be supervising.
Oh, he'll be. Yeah, that's the way it works for sure. So, anyway, hey Peter Moore, we're going to be working.
Buy a malted milkshake, by the way.
I'm sure we can make that. We can do that. I bet. And I
remember to bring the malt with you.
I'll bring the malt with me. Okay. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. Hey Peter, the question on the table though. We're talking with Peter Moore, founder of Vital for Colorado. And he founded it. I mean, you wanted to get 2,000 people involved. You had 85,000 people involved, plus these businesses and elected officials. So it's amazing. But there is something a little bit disingenuous about 181 and the whole local control thing. And I read 81, Senate Bill 181, and I saw big danger in 181 in as much as it had some pretty strict setbacks and pretty strict things regarding the oil and gas industry. But from what I could see, it could allow local municipalities, local control, to be even stricter. And many, I think many municipalities are using that. But there's something different happening in Weld County. They said, okay, yeah, we'll have local control, and we want to support the oil and gas industry. My understanding is that they're trying to be thwarted to do that. What say you?
That's a very, very good summary. Most of the production in Colorado is north of Denver in Weld County, and I believe that oil and gas people call it the DJ Basin. And so Weld County is the center of production, the most important. So given this new local control, I think that the county officials there tried to remove uncertainty in the state permitting process and started to develop regulations to support oil and gas investment. And then the state government, through the Colorado Attorney General's office, sent a warning letter to Weld County to say that whatever local control they're doing, it doesn't restrict the ability of the COGCC to regulate oil and gas. And what's curious, I think, is that I'm not aware, and if there are any such other letters to any other county, if that's a warning that the state would like to give each county, why only give it to the one county that's trying to open up oil and gas development and try to create certainty?
So a cynical view of the whole thing is that you can have local control as long as it's the right kind of local control, and as long as it restricts, the permitting process. That's my read, and that's a fairly widely publicized letter that came out from the State Attorney General's office. I think it's been on TV, and perhaps you've had a show on it before. I'm not sure.
I have not done that show on that yet. We have been doing a show once a month on health and hydrocarbons, and that's sponsored by Liberty Oilfield Services. And, you know, you're talking about the business component of that. And I think that sometimes we, you and I, Peter, Karen, we understand the compassion of business in as much when people have jobs, the dignity of work. They're able to go out and thrive and prosper, take care of their families, you know, maybe have a little bit of time on the weekends to have some hobbies. And we realize that all of those things that make our lives better are because of business, the fact that business, the oil and gas industry is out there supporting business that makes these things happen. And so when we talk about these numbers, I think that there's some people that think that we're not compassionate at all. And I would make the argument that standing up for these kinds of businesses where people can thrive and prosper is extremely compassionate. Karen, do you want to make a comment on that?
Not at the moment.
Okay, I threw it over to you. I did. Peter, what would you say about that?
Well, it's, one thing that I think is not really well known, all the board members that are on the board of directors for Vital for Colorado, none of them are oil and gas people. These are chambers of commerce, usually presidents of several chambers, the Farm Bureau, farmers that have property rights in terms of royalty rights. There's a very large logistics company. I'm a lawyer downtown, has been practicing since 1981, and my primary practice is actually in sports law. I'm a general counsel to a national rugby league. So you had a bunch of business people that got together and said that we really ought to talk and talk about this sector, because if this sector falls away, and I honestly felt that the sector was being treated very unfairly, and that was my motivation to found it. But we are all interdependent. We are particularly interdependent upon this industry just because so many people, it's currently, or at least as of at the end of last year, it's about 230,000 people, and it's a $32 billion vertical, and these are relatively high-paying jobs, and the way money passes around, you spend more on consumer goods and houses and all sorts of things, dry cleaning, the more disposable income that you have, and so the M1 factor, or the way that money is spent and respent, is great for this industry. Then the other story, during the last 5 years, there's been so much increase in safety. And it was going the right direction. 2013 was probably a banner year. I think Governor Hickenlooper, along with the Environmental Defense Fund and the state of Colorado and the industry, got together and agreed upon methane rules. And when's the last time that you've ever heard of industry agreeing with the Environmental Defense Fund on anything? Mm-hmm. But they did, and they developed methane emission, which is a very strong environmental factor that has been copied by the federal government and is a model for the world. And that's the right way to try to work together. Last year's initiative was so wrong-headed because it would have had such a setback under very, very undefined terms, such as 2,500 feet from a field of stream. And I've been in Colorado since 78, and it's very hard to identify where the fields and streams are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I try up a lot. Is that a field of stream? Sure.
Yeah, right. Peter,
sure.
We have about a minute left. What do you, just quickly, looking into the future, are you encouraged, or what should we do?
Well, the encouragement that I was trying to give is to give encouragement to the Polis administration to get back to the themes that it was espousing before. January of 2019. It has an awful lot of control, and to try to encourage the local communities and provide leadership and guidance to implement new drilling permits in a way that allows the oil and gas companies to predictably operate. Mm. I think that's what the industry is looking for. And there may be a lot of negotiation, but the style last 3 months is we'll pass new rules, we'll not seek input, and deal with it. And it almost seems like it's an effort to push the oil and gas industry out of the state, which would be devastating to everybody in the state.
It would be. So, hey, Peter Moore, thank you so much for your important piece in Colorado politics regarding the plummeting number of permits belies Polis's own promises on drilling. And this is Peter Moore, founder of Vital for Colorado. Peter, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And Karen Levine, it's always great to have you in studio. Award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. And that number is 303-877-7516. So it's always great to have you.
Thank you.
So, and I didn't mean to just throw that over to you. I'd like to try to be more careful when I have somebody in studio. So sorry about the...
All right.
Yeah, just...
What, if we had a minute, just what's interesting is the voters said they didn't want that proposition, right?
Uh-huh.
And the realtor party looked at it, and Peter made a good point. How do you identify these? But we put circles, you know, where all those setbacks were.
Yeah.
And once you put all the setbacks in, there was no place to develop. There was no place to do oil and gas
exploration. Funny how that worked out.
So
funny how that worked out. So we need to stay on this and let Governor Polis know that you do support this oil and gas industry here in Colorado. So our quote for today, and everybody, you need to do something every day. Edmund Burke, we talked about him in the first segment. He said, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.